O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. In case you're wondering, we are getting near the end of this series in John. I trust that you have appreciated and value them. I've certainly, from my point of view, and often, you know, the preacher gets the most out of what's said because you do all the work and do all the preparation and everything. I've certainly enjoyed exploring John's letter again. So, question: is it possible to get to know someone without ever seeing them? Because there was a period of time where, you know, wife or to be wife was in England and husband or to be husband was in New Zealand, and, you know, went for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years back, and the baby gone, and you wrote a letter today. They got it 3 or 4 months later, and then they replied. I mean, a lot can happen in that sort of time, can't it? And then this, usually it was the to-be wife or wife, got off this boat and arrived here in New Zealand. And can you imagine the kind of strangers they met? And they had to organise their lives and say, well, you know, I'm men and I suppose I'm meant to love you, so I suppose I better love you. And sometimes I didn't, of course. And they had to work it all out. That was pretty rough. And of course, then there are other sort of cultures, and the English culture wasn't too far removed from this, whereabouts you didn't have any choice in the matter at all. Didn't know whether you knew them or not, but you said, well, there's the bloke you're going to marry, and there's the girl you're going to marry, and get over it and get on with it. Is it possible to get to know someone without seeing them? Well, I would say in those circumstances, a great deal of difficulty. Can you develop a relationship without face-to-face meeting? Well, actually, today people do. And they do it all the time on the internet. We develop some sort of attraction or feeling with characters and movies, on TV soaps or serials. Oh, the curse of them all from my point of view, reality TV shows. I remember early in the days when that program, what do you call it, Shortland Street started, and one of the doctors, I think he was a doctor, was kind of a real rogue, and he had difficulty going shopping because people took it out on him down in the street, even though in the street he was not the character. I mean, can you imagine what that would be like? And did they know him? Or didn't know him from a bar of soap. They just simply knew the character on TV. We see that again, don't we, when people like Princess Diane died. People just bucketed all over there. Did they know her? Didn't know her at all. But there was some kind of connection going on. We experience all the emotions of relationships. Warmth, anger, frustration, sympathy, hope, disappointment. All without ever meeting them face to face. And what causes such bondings? Well, letters, information, seeing them in a bunch of different situations, developing understanding of likes and dislikes. There's limitations, as we've noted, but there are many elements of relationship building without actually meeting them. Where does this got to do with John's letter? Well, John's first letter encourages a deeper relationship with God. It speaks of the possibility of really knowing God, and it all centres around Jesus. Now, does he do that? Well, he takes 5 things that I want us to bear in mind. Firstly, Jesus existed eternally with the Father. What was from the beginning, which was with the Father? We find that right at the beginning of the letter. Many think that Jesus' life began in Bethlehem. However, the Bible makes it clear that Jesus has always existed. He was from the beginning. Not because he then came into existence, but by something which is beyond our understanding and experience. Jesus created all things. He existed before there was anything, and then he created what we have. I just find that mind-blowing, beyond the realms of understanding. I comprehended it no more than the fact that there's no beginning or end to space. It is just too big for me to think about. But how did he do this creating? Well, science may have some answers. But the bottom line is, God spoke and it all began. I really don't care about the mechanics. What is fundamental to me is that God spoke and it all began, and that is sufficient. John puts it this way in his gospel: God created everything through him, through Christ. Paul says it like this: He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's big, isn't it? Jesus has always existed with the Father. Again, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Those who claim God created people because he was lonely is misguided. And some people say that, well, you know, God created because, you know, he was kind of lonely. Now, creation is the spillover of love, as it should be for all children, but tragically not the case. But more than that, the concept of community comes from God. The longing for community comes out of the nature of God. There has been partnership, fellowship, and community from the beginning of time between the three persons of the Trinity. So rich and so deep is that community that they are defined as one and three persons. It's the only way I can begin to understand. We hear this in Jesus' amazing prayer of John 17. He said, "Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was made." He's saying, we had it before, let's have it again. There was never a time when the Son of God didn't exist. So secondly, Jesus is the expression and source of eternal life. The Word of God came to give life. Just as God breathed life into Adam at creation, Jesus breathes new life into us when we respond to his invitation and choose to follow him. Now, eternal life is more than life without end. I've heard it said, you know, particularly people who are suffering in one way or another say, "Eternal life, no thank you very much." The thought of eternal life, you know, in their minds, it's what they've experienced is going on forever. I mean, that sounds like hell all on its own. And that's the way in which they view that. So it can't be like that, can it? And what Jesus is talking about, he's talking about a quality of life that flows from the nature of God, not the nature of our now experience, but from the nature of God, which he offers to us through Jesus. The quality of life that was seen in Jesus is available to those who put their trust in him. Without Jesus, that life is out of reach. It's not possible to attain. Thirdly, Jesus came to our earth to offer us new life. Was Jesus real? Is he a myth? Is Jesus something made up by someone to start a new religion? Thankfully, no. Jesus really did come. There is proof on it and sources beyond the Bible. He really lived and walked this earth. John writes, as a first-hand witness, we heard him speak. And what he had to say still rings in our ears. We saw with our eyes and we looked at him closely. We touched him with our hands. These are the words of an eyewitness. We may not be able to touch him today. We may not see him today. But there are those who did. And we get to read their first-hand account. They heard his preaching and reported what he said. They saw his miracles and reported what he did. They examined his every move and wrote it down for us to read. They really did touch the eternal God and told us all about it. But by the way, we do get to see and touch him in the lives of those who love him. Isn't that cool? We do get to touch and see God in the lives of those who love him. We as individuals, but more importantly together, bear the image of God for the world to see. This is why John is so insistent, as we heard in our reading, that we love one another. Our love demonstrates our love for God and shows a willingness to obey his commands. And in all this, we then bear the image of God in our very life. So when people look and say, "Well, what does God look like?" Well, we're inclined to say, "Well, he looks like Jesus." And they say, well, what did he look like? Well, actually, the way God looks like should be seen in us. So that when people say, what does God look like? We say, well, look at the church. Oh, hell. I'd be worried about that, but that is, in fact, is the truth. When I first came here 8 years ago, I started a series, Living Below with the Saints We Know. And I may redo that before I leave. But it all has its earthing in John 17. Where Jesus just so prays that they would be one as he is one. Why? So that the world would see and believe that there is something in the character of God's people that bears such a clear evidence of the existence of God that people say, I just want to be part of that. Do you want to know what God looks like? Well, look at the church down the road. That's the challenge. That's a challenge that constantly faces me in my life and witness and in the things I seek for us to do. Jesus became human so that he might better communicate with us. He became human in order to be a merciful high priest and identify with us. He became human to taste death for us so that we might have life. He became human in order to bring us into communion and fellowship with God. Jesus no longer walks the earth as a man. He returned to his Father, and with the promise of his physical return, there is still the possibility of a relationship with the eternal God. He is still touchable. And fourthly, because of Jesus, we can have fellowship with the Father and each other. John wrote, what we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The key word here is fellowship, and it carries the idea of partnership. Can such a fellowship, can such a partnership be experienced with someone you have never met? John suggests that it is why he has written. To inspire partnership with readers he would never meet, because they would have a common relationship with Jesus. Through his testimony, he hoped to bring people into relationship with Jesus and thus establish a ground for partnership with all other followers of Jesus. Through the testimony of John and the other eyewitnesses, we too get to see something of his works, hear his words, look intently at the life and touch at his life and touch him by touching others and being touched by those he sends. It is interesting, and it's always been a challenge to me in what Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who did not see and yet believed. To this, Peter in his letter adds, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith salvation of your souls. That's why we're winners. That's why we can take possession of a victory that God has given us. It all comes back to Jesus. And as a result of that, the fifth thing, the telling of Jesus brings ultimate joy. I can't remember the entire facts of this incident because it happened 40 years ago. But someone said, oh, have you seen Richard? I heard this. And they said, yeah, he's floating around on cloud nine. Well, why's that? I don't know. Well, I'll tell you why. He's just led 14 people to Christ. You know, just one, actually. You want to reduce me to tears, tell me your testimony. Because it's in the testimony there is joy in sharing and seeing yet another life come to Jesus. And John knew that. And you can know that too. You need to land your own fish. You've heard me talking about that before. You know, you share your faith with someone else and they come to faith. That's like landing your own fish. That's what Jesus has sent you out to do, to be a fisher of people. You know, you heard me tell the story before of the person who caught a fish. And I think in the story it was a woman and she was struggling with it. And so one of the men on the boat hauled it in. And she kind of felt a bit deflated. And hearing this story, the author of the book which I read this in had somebody ring him and said, look, somebody wants to give their life to Christ. He said, can we bring them around? And he said, no, you do it. And about an hour later, two radiant people walked into his office. One because she had come to faith, but the other because she had done it. Why do I encourage you to pray for one another instead of getting, you know, the pros to do it? Because if you pray and as you see the hand of God working, it builds you into a place of faith and joy that you'll get nowhere else. Because you've said, I've seen the hand of God at work. Excuse me? It's not that I don't want to pray for you. I'd just rather you pray for one another. And got the encouragement of faith that comes by that. The reality of that relationship with Jesus brings joy to the one who tells the message as well as the person who receives it. So John has written with the intention to bring them all into fullness of joy. John may be referring to the joy that would be experienced by him and other disciples, even the joy of the entire community of believers, because there is. You know, heaven parties when one person commits their life to Christ. But we should be partying too when we hear of someone moving into faith. So it is a little wonder that John so clearly writes, as we heard in our reading this morning, that it's those who believe in the Son of God will win. Father, we thank you for the victory we have in Christ. We thank you for the certain hope that you have given to us by faith and by love. And we pray that you would strengthen that faith within us, that we would stand as your people boldly and willingly, as you have given all, Father God, as you have given all, Jesus, from the beginning of time, as you have given all, Spirit, to make this known to us, so we would give all, that those whom we meet may see the demonstration of your kingdom power at work in their lives, and that we would have the encouragement of seeing folk come to know you, Jesus, as their Lord and Saviour. So we pray this and we declare this in faith this day. In Jesus' name, Amen.